Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this Constitution
of
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
Good evening. It's the Friday Night Roundtable. I'm Dave. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio. This is the Friday Roundtable. No one's joined us here in the studio yet tonight, so if no one does, we'll just carry on. If you want to get involved in the Friday Night Roundtable, it is totally free speech. It's 347-677-1835. That's 347-677-1835. Missouri Grassroots Coalition is a co-op of all kinds of patriot groups. There are fair tax groups, there are Tea Party groups, there are property rights groups, 912 groups, all groups, many groups, right to life groups with one item agendas, some groups with more than one item agendas, Tea Parties. The purpose of Missouri Grassroots Coalition is to unite those groups all together in cooperation for less government, fair taxation, and fiscal responsibility. If your group is not a member of Missouri Grassroots Coalition, then go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check it out, join the group, look us up on Facebook, Missouri Grassroots Coalition. That's a Facebook group. Go to the Facebook group page. So search for Missouri Grassroots Coalition. You'll find a fan page and a group page. Go to the group page. You'll see a lot of chatter going on. Join there and stay abreast of things that are happening. We are kind of a central point of contact for all kinds of different things. Locke and Smith, who is a great group of folks that reviews all the legislation that is moving in the Missouri State House, in the Missouri Capitol, and brings you a concise breakdown of what that legislation is, what it does, and how you should stand on it, in their opinion. Gretchen Logue, the Missouri Education Watchdog, posts her alerts there. Carl Bearden and Ron Calzone, two more legislative watchers, Carl Bearden from United for Missouri, Ron Calzone, Missouri First, they posted their alerts there. So very little is going to happen in Jefferson City if you join MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org that you don't know about. There's several right-to-life groups that keep you posted on what's going on with that agenda. So even if you are a one-issue group, you want to join Missouri Grassroots Coalition so that you can watch what is going on in the rest of the arena and post your agenda item and alerts on your agenda item to Missouri Grassroots Coalition. Aside from us being able to help you by coordinating the voices of people all over the state and giving you direct access to those voices and those alerts, one of the exciting things about a group like Missouri Grassroots Coalition is that if you are in a county, a city, a village, and you have a group with 20, 30, 50 people in it, you sometimes feel as though you don't have a lot of voice. Maybe the city council or the county commission, the village council is doing something patently bad for you, something that is certainly not in the best interest of the citizens. And sometimes if you're 30, 40, 50 people, you don't feel like you have enough voice to make that stop. And if you bring your alert to Missouri Grassroots Coalition, you find that you can get a lot more voices into your city hall. So that's one of the beauties about bringing your group in to be part of Missouri Grassroots Coalition. So just pop in there, pop into the Facebook page, Missouri Grassroots Coalition, and visit MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, the website. I have some good blogs there. We have a calendar. If you join Missouri Grassroots Coalition, you can put your group's events on the MGC calendar if you want, so that everybody in the state can see when you're meeting, where you're going, what you're doing. We have a MGC alert coming up. We have a meeting on tomorrow afternoon to try to figure out exactly how to frame this and how to get it out. But I'll give you a heads up, listeners. The grassroots patriot groups statewide are furious about what Secretary of State Robin Carnahan did with the ballot language for the Senate bill that came out that required a November vote. Now, here's some history on this. Obamacare got passed by the U.S. Congress and signed into law by President Obama. And there are several things that Obamacare requires the states to do. One of them is to develop or to join, either to develop unilaterally or to join with other states in developing an insurance exchange. And on this insurance exchange would be all of the insurance companies that you, as a Missouri citizen, are required, one of whom you would be required to buy insurance from. You couldn't buy insurance from anyone but someone on the exchange. And the idea of the exchange is to make sure that Obamacare is equitably distributed by forcing everyone on the exchange, all of the companies selling insurance on the exchange, to offer exactly the same package. So you would have all of the same coverages from all of the companies. So they would be identical insurance policies. So you've got seven companies that you can legally buy insurance from, and you have seven identical policies, and then there's a price for each policy. And the idea is that you can compare prices. We were discussing this today, and one of my good friends said, well, you know, insurance exchanges aren't necessarily bad. Well, that's true. Some states actually have joined together in forming insurance exchanges to kind of make insurance more available, to allow on the exchange for some companies that previously weren't allowed to sell in their state to get in. And the exchanges do generally encourage and sometimes even require that a company that participate in the exchange offer identical policies. And usually on most of these exchanges, you have two or three choices of two or three different policies, all of which would be identical across the spectrum of providers within the exchange. And that allows you to compare price quite nicely. And then, you know, when you compare price, you're also looking for things like, what kind of service do I get? How quickly do they process claims? How friendly are they? And all the other things besides price for product that you always have to consider and have trouble considering when you consider insurance policies, because all of them have so many different clauses and coverages that you frequently end up buying a policy that doesn't have a coverage you need because it has all the other coverages you need. And anything that has the coverage that you need or are looking for doesn't have all the other coverages you need. So, but in these exchanges, first of all, no one is required to play in the exchange to sell insurance. In other words, if I come in with a Dave Court health insurance company and ask to be licensed in the state of Kentucky, Kentucky can license me to sell insurance if I meet whatever the requirements are that Kentucky levies on me, without being required to play in the Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama insurance exchange. So I don't have to match those policies. I don't have to match those prices. I can put my product out there and let it compete on the market with everybody else in or out of the exchange. And secondly, in those exchanges, because I'm out there competing in the free market, you are not required in the first place. Currently, you're not required to buy insurance. But secondly, you are not required to buy insurance if you buy insurance from a member of the exchange. You can buy it out on the free market. So in a free market setting like that, where the exchange is totally voluntary and where the exchange is, and I say totally voluntary for both the seller and the buyer, and the exchange doesn't cost the taxpayer anything, there's another catch to these exchanges, then the exchanges can be a good thing. So, yes, my friend, you are right. Exchanges are not always a bad thing. And then my friend went on to say, but these exchanges are criminally bad. And they are. They are very bad. So anyway, in Obamacare, they're setting up these exchanges, and these exchanges are the only place that you can go to buy the insurance, which, by the way, now you are required to buy or pay a tax yearly of $695 per person in your family who's uninsured. So another requirement that goes hand in hand with these exchanges is, now that the state needs to expand Medicare to cover more people, there will be a very slight increase in the income cutoff that would qualify for you for Medicaid. And I forget what the number is, but still there will be many, many, many people who today feel like they can't afford insurance and who will be making too much money to qualify for Medicaid. And the federal government is going to pay for that expansion of Medicaid for the first 3 years. And then after 3 years, it phases in, and eventually, when the system's all expanded and everybody is covered and the government is paying for almost everyone's health care because private insurance is going out of business and because people are losing their insurance with their employers because employers are no longer insuring people. So 2 or 3 years, 4 years down the road, when everybody is covered by the public system, then the state, the federal government stops paying for it and it falls on the state. Now, our Senate in Missouri, Senate and House got together and passed a bill after much dickering and arguing and compromising and a lot of back and forth between the two parties, that said the governor and the executive branch could not unilaterally enter the state of Missouri into any of these exchange programs, expand Medicaid, or do any of the Obamacare things without the consent, one item at a time, of the legislature. And this was because Governor Nixon and his cronies had on several occasions already tried to sneak portions of Obamacare into the state around the legislature so that you would just wake up one morning and boom, there are insurance exchanges in Missouri, and that's where you have to go to buy your insurance if you buy insurance in this state. In fact, there was a federal block grant of, I want to say, $50 million that came down to the state of Missouri that as this bill, and it's a proposition that will be on the November, as this proposition was being marked up and debated, where the governor and his Secretary of State tried to sneak in to an appropriation, and appropriations is the perfect place to sneak something in, because at the last 3, 4, 5 days of the session, everybody's running around like a chicken with their head cut off because they put off 67 pieces of legislation till the last minute, as well as all the budget and the entire appropriation for the budget. So in the last week and a half, you're trying to cram all this in. So boom, they stick in this $50 million block grant to begin the ball rolling on the Obamacare. Well, it actually made it through one side of the rotunda, and I forget which one. I think it made it through the House, and it got bounced in the Senate, the $50 million block grant acceptance and expenditure. And then along comes this bill, which is not in response to this particular act, because it was in markup and debate, committee debate, when this $50 million block grant thing came around. And they passed the proposition. They got the $50 million block grant out, and they passed the proposition to go to the ballot and ask the voters if they wanted to bar the governor and executive branch from assuming a power that does not belong to them constitutionally anyway, and going around the legislature to do this thing. And then along comes Robin Carnahan, and we're getting to the part that's got everybody up in arms now, with the ballot language for that particular item. And we're going to get to that after this break, and we're going to discuss what Missouri Grassroots Coalition can and should do about that.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
With the August primary looming in about 7 weeks, we find the time is running out on who we vote for. Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Do the representatives we send to Jefferson City really care what you think, or do they do the bidding of the special interest groups and lobbyists? It's your choice. You can elect a true citizen legislator or an establishment politician who takes his marching orders from the party elitists and his donors. Either way, time is running out for our state and country. Hear the clock of freedom ticking? I'm Terry Varner, and I approve this message. I've got a feeling that the tide is
turning. Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty, or give me death!
It is my understanding that Peter Kinder has already filed a lawsuit to change the language of this bill And there is some talk of calling a special session of the legislature to actually draft the language of this bill. The discussion today, pretty much, in the grassroots organizations was, why the hell didn't the legislature draft the bill title anyway, the ballot title anyway? And there are some pros and cons there. There are people who think that, yeah, it was the last week of the session. They were all busy. They had the appropriations and the budget to deal with, and it just got past them. And there are those that say, you know, with the history of both Jay Nixon and Robin Carnahan, and knowing that this particular bill was written specifically to hold them back, there is no excuse that the legislature did not draft the ballot language for this bill when they drafted the bill. That's neither here nor there. It's not done, and Carnahan's language is out there. There is an impending lawsuit and a possible special session. So at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we will be launching over the weekend an action alert. We'll have some addresses, email addresses. We'll have some things that we'd like our partner groups to consider getting involved in. And we'll be moving as a united front on this ballot language issue to try to get something a little bit more concise and a little bit more fair and a little bit more truthful out there as to what people are expected to vote on in November. Another long discussion today has been going on out among the grassroots groups about right to work again. Right to work has raised its ugly head, and in my book, it is an ugly head. Several years ago, maybe 150 years ago, a expert candle maker opened himself up a shop and started making and selling candles. And after 10, 15 years of blood and sweat and investment of his own capital, he had reached a point where he had a growing market, a large and growing market for some exquisite candle work, and had hired 20 employees. But he wasn't a very good boss. He didn't pay his people very much, and he didn't give them Christmas off, and he didn't give them a 10-minute smoke break every 2 hours, and he didn't give them time to eat their lunch away from their work. So one day the candle makers all got together and said, I think since we're the best candle makers in the state and our boss knows it, that we can hold that over his head and get treated a little bit better. So they went to the candle maker and they said, okay, all 20 of us have been talking, and here's the deal. If we're going to continue working for you, we demand a 2.5% pay raise and holidays off. And we demand a cigarette break 5 minutes out of every hour. And we demand an hour for lunch every day. And the old candle maker went back and thought about it. And he did, in fact, recognize the value to his business of having all of these top-level candle makers working for him. So he went back to them and he said, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll give you the 2.5% pay raise. I'll give you Christmas and Thanksgiving. I'll give you a 5-minute break every 2 hours to have a cigarette. And I'll give you a half hour for lunch. And with that offer, the employees accepted and stayed. And Candle Makers Local Number 1 was born. Now, the news of what these candle makers had done soon got out, and everybody, every candle maker in the state wanted a piece of that action. So the local became larger and more powerful, and like deals were being made at candle making factories all over the state. And then a year rolled around since the birth of Candlemakers Local 1, and it was time for the candlemakers at the original candle factory to go back into negotiations. So they went back to their boss and they said, well, okay, that worked out pretty good for us last time. Here's what we want. We want another 2.5% pay raise. We want Labor Day and Memorial Day added to our Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we want you to pay all our doctor bills. And the candle maker took that home with him and thought about it. He says, I'll give you a 4% pay raise instead of the 2.5 you asked for. And I'll give you Memorial Day and Labor Day, but I won't pay your doctor. I can't afford it. And the workers, all 20 of them, went on strike. And the candle maker said, I recognize the value that these top-notch candle makers have to my business, but I believe that value has been exceeded at this time, and they are now not worth what it costs me to keep them marching around with picket signs in front of my business. And he fired them all, and he hired 20 other candle makers who would accept the offer that he made to the candle makers of 4% more money, and now the four holidays, the break every 2 hours, and the half hour for lunch. Well, what happened then is where things start going horribly, horribly wrong, because the members of the local, Candlemakers Local 1, went to the Congress of the state and said, look, look what this guy did to us. And before the week was out, the House and Senate had both passed and sent to the governor, for who signed quickly, a bill that said you cannot fire any union member for striking as long as the union has made a good faith effort to negotiate with you. Well, the old candle maker just said, that's it. He said, I retire. And the laborers union, or the candle makers union, went on a large celebratory weekend drinking binge to celebrate their right to work law that had given them a victory. Because union members, after all, do have a right to work. Well, there are still several young candle factory owners in the vicinity, and they take the retirement of the old guy who had a great deal of the market in stride, and they accepted the government intrusion into their right to fire employees that tried to put a stoppage to their livelihood. And they went on. And one of these candle makers in particular decided that he wasn't going to take that. And what he was going to do is he was going to not hire any more union candle makers. If he had to, he'd hire high school kids and teach them to make candles. And if they wanted to join the union, then they could go work for someone else. And if they wanted to make candles for pretty darn close to the same money that these union candle makers were doing, and for the nice way this guy treated them, and not join the union, then they could stay there and make a reasonable living, and everyone would be happy. So the guy went out, and as candle makers would retire or quit and move on, he would replace them with candle makers who were not in the union, and who promised him that they would not join the union. And what happened next was the candle makers union went to the Congress and said, look what this guy's doing. He's cheating. And the Congress agreed, and the governor agreed, and a law was passed that said, from now on, the union members, by a simple majority, can take a vote and make any shop they work in a closed shop, so that you have to be a union member to work there. And things went merrily along, except for this candle maker who had decided that he didn't want to hire any more union workers. That's where we're at. That's where we're at now. The federal government and the state governments have not stayed out of the labor fray. They have gotten in the labor fray, and for a century and a quarter now, century and a half, going on a century and a half, they have been in it heavily on the side of labor and anti-business. And all these labor unions have been protected. And so along comes the self-righteous right saying, okay, let's get even. Let's get even. Let's make a law that says, let's not penalize the unions who've been screwing the business owner all these years. Let's not make a law to roll back union power because the government has been unashamedly taking sides in this thing that should be a free market expression. Let's not fix the problems we created. Let's intrude even further and tell the business owner that he cannot make a decision whether or not the people who work in his shop are or are not required to be in a union. Now, here we are. Let's go all the way back to when the old man started the candle shop. He had a right given to him by his creator to invest his money and to pursue his happiness by creating a candle shop. That's capitalism. His goal is to make a profit. His goal is to make a ton of money. And as capitalism goes, his self-serving goal also serves the society. That's the way capitalism is. Capitalism is, in fact, a self-serving economic system. It is built on the greed of the person who is investing the money in the hope of making a ton more money. Whether they invest it in their own business or someone else's, it doesn't matter. But the beauty of capitalism is that that self-service sends ripples through the society that are good for the society, that bring capital into the society, that move capital around through the society, that create markets, that create goods, that create wealth for the society as a whole. So that's what this old man candlemaker was doing as he hired first 5 and then 10 and then 20 people. And he was endowed by his creator with a right to do that. But he was also endowed by his creator with a right, since he's giving the 20 people money, to dictate to them what kind of work they do, what hours they do it, the quality of their work, what days they can have off, and whether or not they can eat lunch in a separate lunchroom, or whether they have to eat it at the wax vat. So here it is. In exchange for my money, I buy your time. And my money tells me that I get to tell you what to do to earn this money. If you don't like it, that's fine. I can find someone else who will take my money. That's my right. That is my pursuit of happiness. That is my capital. That is my property. And according to everything that I understand, I am endowed by my creator with a right to exclusively manage that property. You are endowed by your creator with a right to accept my deal, accept my money, or not accept my money. You are not endowed by your creator to say, I accept your money, but my creator endowed me with a right to tell you you have to give me lunch, because your creator did not endow you with that right. However, you do have a right to get together with 20 other candle makers. I mean, you have a personal, individual right to come to me and say, that's it, I'm done working here, because you won't give me lunch. You won't give me two holidays a year off. You won't give me a smoke break. And you won't pay me enough. And so I quit. That is an individual right of yours. Now, you have a right to collectively get together with the 19 other people that work there and mass your individual rights into a collective right. So you can come to me as 20 people and say, okay, we understand we don't have a right to tell you what you have to do, that you're giving us money. But what we do have a right to do collectively is the same thing we have a right to do singly or individually. And that is tell you that unless we get this, this, and this, we're all quitting. And the candle maker has the right then to look at that dilemma that's been created by these 20 individuals asserting collectively their 20 individual rights and say, I really don't want to lose these 20 people. I think I'll try to make a deal. Now, everyone has exercised all of their individual rights. When the 20 people come back next year, happy with the results of what happened last year, and say, okay, let's try a little bit more. And when they push that envelope a little bit too far, they have still a collective right to do everything that they have a right to do individually. Because individually, any one of them could have said, and if you don't do that, then I'm going to go outside. I'm not only going to, I'm going to quit working, and I'm going to go outside, and I'm going to hold up a sign in your parking lot that says you're a weasel until you give me two extra holidays off and pay my doctor bills. Every one of them has an individual right to do that. They can march up and down the sidewalk all they want to with a sign that says, Candlemaker Joe is the biggest weasel in the world. Don't buy Candlemaker Joe's stuff. And so they can exercise that right collectively. But Candlemaker Joe has a right here too. He has a right to say, that's it. March up and down there all you want, but you're going to march unemployed because you're all fired. I'm not going to let you put a stop to my business. I'm not going to let you hurt this company that I've spent years building up, and I can easily find 20 more people who I can train to make candles just like I trained you to do 10 years ago. And so he does that. Now, everyone so far has exercised all of their own individual rights. And in comes the government. And this is where it all goes awry. Because now the government has created a special right for a union that is not an individual, a special right that the collective has that the individual members of the collective do not have. And that is the right to picket without penalty my candle making shop, to put a stoppage to the work in my candle making shop without penalty, without fear of me exercising my individual right. Now turn that around. Turn that around. Say I am a candle maker and I want to make sure that all of the candle makers that work for me are in the collective union, are in local candle makers, local one. I don't know why, that is a red herring question. Why would you ever want to do that? It doesn't matter. Maybe I like the yellow and blue hats that union members wear when they come to work. I like the idea that these guys drink beer together every Friday night. I don't care what the reason is, but it's my candle shop. And so I've decided that everyone I hire needs to belong to Candle Makers Local Number One. I can do that. I can do that. And the government can no more come in and tell me that I cannot hold as a criteria for me hiring that someone who works for me belongs to Candle Makers Local One than they can to come in and tell me that I can't fire a member of the local, that I can't, who goes on strike, that I can't allow my shop to be opened if I so desire, that I can't refuse to hire anyone who is a member of Candle Makers Local One if I so desire. So I have a real problem with this right to work thing. Now, you send me a law that says the union cannot force Candle Maker Joe to hire only union members, and that's a right to work law. You send me a law that says the government is out of this whole thing. The government is having no part in this as long as the union and Candlemaker Joe do not resort to an otherwise illegal behavior like beating people, slandering people, libeling people, setting people's house on fire. As long as you don't violate anyone else's liberty, then you are at liberty to conduct your business between the collective workers and the candle maker in any fashion you choose. And I'll say that's okay. That's right to work. But no law that limits someone's liberty by creating for one class of people a liberty that never existed and that they do not collectively hold themselves is fair or right or just, whether it be in favor of the union or against the union. And that's my take on this right to work thing. I encourage you to call and argue that with me at 347-677-1835. I encourage you to go to my blog of today and write your comments if you want to argue about that. But that is the libertarian take on it. And that's really just the way it should be. This is an issue of right and wrong. And to say that it does not harm the employer at all is to say the same thing as we're going to send some drones out to look at you, and as long as you're not doing anything wrong, it doesn't hurt you. What do you care if I stop you in the middle of Main Street in a long line of traffic on your way to work to check to see if you're drinking or not? Because if you're not doing anything wrong, what does it matter to you? What does it matter to you if I make a law that says you can't restrict your shop to just union employees? Because there's no benefit to you of doing that. Well, those are all invalid arguments. Now, one argument that can be made for this is that I can cheat this law. So I can sit back and I can agree that this law would be all right. It's not worth arguing about anymore. Let it pass because I can cheat. I can cheat. I can. This is still a hire at will state. And as long as it is, I can look at a bunch of applications and I can say, okay, these 15 people are in the union and these 4 people are not in the union. So I'm only going to talk to these 15 people to fill these 3 positions. And I also can, once I have 20 union members on, for any reason whatsoever in the state of Missouri, fire someone. So as soon as someone decides they want to drop out of the union, which I'm now required to let them do by this right to screw me law, then I can fire them because for no reason at all, because I only need 19 people now, or because they're redheaded. So the argument can be made, I guess, that as long as I can cheat the law, then the law is okay, and I should just let it go. As long as it is available to me to act illegally without getting caught, then the law doesn't harm me at all. It isn't really restricting my liberty as long as I am at liberty to break the law without getting caught. Okay. You know, don't kid me. That's done now, and that's done now with these laws that are in place for hiring by race, for laws that are in place for hiring by sexual orientation, for laws that are in place for hiring by sex and hiring by religion. And so why not? Why not just pass this law, get it over with, quit the arguing, and let me go back to making candles the way I want to make candles. Okay, I give up. That's what we'll do. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio. On Mondays and Thursdays, we have the Hour of Truth. We're in the middle of a project now to vet candidates for the primary. We're going to take a pass on vetting candidates on Monday, and we're going to talk to Lloyd Thomas Sloan, who is a fella who has done a lot of work, a lot of study, and even written a lot on the state repeal amendment, an amendment that was initially proposed by James Madison some 230 years ago. This is an amendment that this is a proposed amendment to the Constitution that would allow a number of the states, and it would have to be some number of a majority or higher, that represent a number of the people, and it would have to be some number of a majority or higher, to repeal any federal law. Now, this is not just a number of states can get together and change the Constitution. You still have to go through the amendment process to change the Constitution. But this is just federal laws that are nuisance laws or that the states don't like. Like 26 states in Lloyd's scenario, representing a majority of the population, could tell the federal government, no, it is not in fact a law that we can't buy incandescent light bulbs. And no, it is not in fact a law that we can't buy a toilet that flushes more than a gallon. And no, in fact, it is not against the law that we can run around and make our own choices as to whether or not we're going to buy health insurance. So let the Congress pass the law, and 26 states could say that isn't, in fact, a law. It's a cumulative veto power is what it is. Anyway, Lloyd's going to come along and talk to us about that and actually try to sell it to us a little bit harder. He's actually making some inroads with getting that passed. I think it sounds like a good idea. On Thursday of next week, we're going to talk to Adam Warren. He's running for Attorney General. We need a good Attorney General in this state. We have an Attorney General who doesn't understand what the job of an Attorney General is, and we'll be sure and ask Mr. Warren what that job is and make sure that he understands what it is. And then on the following Monday, the 16th, we're going to talk to, speaking of Attorney Generals, Ed Martin. And on that same night, we're going to have Mike Moon. Mike is running against Billy Long to go to Washington as a member of the U.S. House of Representatives. I've said this. I'm probably going to say this every night between now and the primary. One, the primary is where we get heard. It's a no-brainer what we're going to do in November to get the current ruling regime replaced. But if you want a liberty-minded, small government candidate you make that choice at the primary, because there, your small government, liberty-minded candidate is running on August 7th against an establishment Republican who wants to go to Jefferson City or Washington, D.C. and give you the same thing for four more years, or in some cases, two more years. I mean, that's what these establishment Republicans want to do. They want to go to Washington or Jefferson City and have a business as usual session. So you will decide whether that happens at the primary, not at the general election. At the primary is where we separate the wheat from the chaff, the wheat from the tares. I've also said this. Whether this movement that some call Tea Party, that some call 912, that some call property rights, this movement that's turning the tide in this country, that swept into Washington, D.C. in formidable fashion 2 years ago and upset the Democratic apple cart, whether this movement passes or fails, whether this movement succeeds or goes down in flames, is going to be decided probably in this election. And it's going to be decided like this. We told those people we sent up there 4 years ago and 2 years ago, we are sending you there on this mission: fiscal responsibility, less government, balanced budget, fair taxation. If they didn't do those things we sent them for, we need them out, and we need them replaced with someone who will. Now, those very same people that we worked for, I worked for Billy Long, those very same people that we supported, there was a time when I supported Todd Akin, the Hartzlers, the Emersons, the Tillys. Those people need to go. We sent them there on a mission, and they've proven to us that they can't do the job. So send someone up there who can and see if they'll do it. It really is that simple. And whether or not we hold the line on what we told these people 4 years ago and 2 years ago is going to determine whether this movement succeeds or goes down in flames. Because if we don't, if we send Akin back, if we send Billy Long back, if we send Emerson back, if we send Hartzler back, then everything that we say we stand for is really nothing. It really is nothing because we don't stand for it. We don't stand for smaller government, balanced budgets, fiscal responsibility. We don't. If we send those people back, we just don't. It's that simple. That takes care of Mondays. On Tuesday, Vaughn Carriker comes along. Vaughn has a segment called Show Me Common Sense. Beautiful segment. Vaughn is a beautiful person, and she's fun to listen to. She's fun. She's a good interviewer. And she has people on her show who are down in the streets doing the everyday conservative work. Veterans with Hope, Bikers Against Child Abuse, foster parents. And it's a very touching show to listen to, and Vaughn is very entertaining. And then on Wednesday nights, along comes Lisa Payne Nager with the Culture Vigilante Hour. And Lisa is very involved in education, very involved in homeschooling, but she is also very involved in the Patriot movement, and she has a segment where she highlights one Patriot group every Wednesday night, talks with someone from that group. And she has another segment where she highlights Yankee Doodle legislation with one of her partners from Lock and Smith, and they talk about some of that legislation that passes that really doesn't do anything but waste a lot of time in Jefferson City and give someone a chest-pounding plank to take out to the voters. Hey, I passed a law that said veterans could have a special discount on their special license plates. So I love veterans, so vote for me. And then on Friday is the roundtable discussion. I've been ranting at you tonight, but usually we have two or three people here. Next week we'll have three or four people here as Mike Smith joins us and we do the Fair Tax Show. So we're going to have a roundtable discussion about the Fair Tax. I'd like to have you call in for that as much as you can. That's a wrap here tonight. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio. This has been the Friday Night Roundtable. I have been and will continue. And I'll talk to you Monday on the Hour of Truth.
God bless America,
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.